Father, we are just grateful once again for another opportunity to come together in prayer. We lift up your name. We magnify you, O God. We glorify you. We exalt you. We thank you, O God, for your goodness, your loving kindness, your mercy, and your grace. You have kept us thus far, and we are grateful. Father, we pray for every man and every woman that was on the prayer line tonight. We pray, O God, for an impartation of life, an impartation of faith, hope, and expectation to come upon them. That, God, you are going to do something supernatural on their behalf tonight. Raise up a level of faith in them to believe, even for those things that are seemingly distant now. It's just memories, because there is an appointed time, but it's coming for those things to be established. And you alone, O God, are mighty in your ways, and you said you will perfect everything that concerns them. And I say, O God, tonight, perfect that which concerns them, perfect that which is on their minds, and bring them to a place, O God, where they can see and testify that God is an awesome God. I thank you for every challenge that they have had to endure, that, God, you have given them the strength to overcome. And I thank you, O God, for every adversity that they have had to face. You have brought them through. I thank you, O God, for every struggle, for by it you have strengthened them in their resolve and their faith in you. I thank you, O God, for the season of peace that they have endured, even the season of peace that they are operating in. I thank you, O God, that you are the one who gives a peace that surpasses all human understanding, and you have released it upon their lives. And I say, God, be exalted always in their lives, because you are the mighty God. I thank you, O God, even for the requests and the needs that they have. You are the all-sufficient God, and you said you will supply all their needs according to your riches in glory by Christ Jesus. If anybody needs healing, you are the healer. If anybody needs deliverance, you are the deliverer. If anybody needs salvation, you are the Savior. If anybody needs breakthrough, you are the God of the breakthrough. If anybody needs a financial miracle, God, you are the miracle worker. Where men have said it's impossible, O God, there is nothing that is impossible for you, nor is there anything that is hard for you to do. That which you have willed, O God, concerning them, it shall be established, O God. Those that are praying for their marriages, I declare that you are the restorer of bridged walls. Where the enemy used to get to you, wherever the enemy used to gain access, you are going to shut those doors and no man can enter in, no spirit can enter in. Let their marriage stand according to your word, that you said whatever you put together, no man shall put asunder. I pray for their sons and their daughters. You said you bring the prodigals home. Bring them home, O God, wherever they are. Preserve, O God, in purity even those that have not gone astray but are still walking and living for you in their households. Manifest yourself in a mighty way and show them, O God, that there is a great reward for walking uprightly before you. I command your blessings, O God, to be upon them, to be upon everything that concerns them. Bless the works of their hands. Bring success to whatsoever they set their mind to do. Bring a rejoicing and a thanksgiving, O God, for the great things that you are about to manifest in their lives. Let their eyes see afar the things of God before they even appear, for you have commanded them to walk by faith and not by sight. Father, bless their hearing, that they may hear your word, and their faith will grow exponentially, and their works of faith will grow even greater. and they will see the result of the works of their faith. I pray, O God, for the perfecting of their lips, for the cleansing of their lips, that they will speak things that are in alignment with what you have ordained. Let the words of their mouth, O God, and the meditation of their hearts be acceptable unto thee. For your glory, O God, and for your praise, we declare that miracles, signs, and wonders are going to take place through the works of their hands. In the name of the author and the finisher of our faith, we seal, O God, every decree and every declaration that you have made over their lives. And we say, it is so, according to your word. Somebody say, amen. Amen and amen. Tonight I want to take you to a particular place of scripture. Just something that the Lord has been dealing with us on. We had an opportunity to preach this on this past Saturday evening. So I'm going to try and just walk you through it and bring us to a place of prayer. And I want to tackle it from this particular perspective, because whenever we gather together in prayer, we are not just gathering for the sake of gathering or just because we don't have anything else that we can be doing, but we are gathering together because, number one, it is required of us according to the word of God, forget not the assembling or the coming together. And also that there is a divine agenda, a specific assignment that God has whenever people gather together. He said, if two or three gather in my name, I am in the midst thereof. So there is a specific agenda, not only just gathering, but we are gathering in his name. And as you and I know, that the Bible speaks about us being called the ecclesia, the ones that are called out. It's not just a matter of being called out, but we are called out for a specific agenda and for a specific purpose. When you look at the definition of that specific word, ecclesia, it's speaking about a group of people that are called out. And when they are called out, they are sent into a region, they are sent into a place, they are sent into a colony to be a seed that is going to establish a governmental order that resembles the nation where they are coming from. And when those people are gathered together, their specific assignment is to establish a governmental order. They are the ones who call the armies together. They are the ones who establish the rule of law in the place that they have been given authority over. And they also have the responsibility of declaring war. So when we gather together in prayer as we are now, we are gathering as the ecclesia of God being sent in the earth to come into divine alignment with what heaven wants to establish. And we establish rules that are going to go forth. We come into agreement with whatever heaven has established. And we say, God, let it be done on earth as it is in heaven, where heaven is where we are being sent from. Anybody hearing me? I'm just laying out the groundwork. So as we gather together in prayer, there is a specific agenda. We are also going to be declaring war on certain things in the realm of the spirit. And also, we are also going to be pulling some things that are in the first and the third heavens, which is God's abode. And we are going to be pulling those things through the second heavens into earth. We say, let thy will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. There are some things that we are going to be challenging tonight. And those things must be challenged because heaven has said that it must be done. We are following the leading of the Spirit of God, who is going to lead us into all truth. And the Spirit of God knows the mind and the will of God. The Spirit of God knows all things. If he didn't know all things, then he wouldn't be qualified to lead us. He's leading us in prayer. So we ask as we are praying tonight, then we are teaching as well, that your ears be open to hear what the Spirit is saying. It is required of us. The Bible says, let he that has an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying. And those that have ears to hear, let them hear. And those that have eyes to see, let them see what the Spirit is doing. So I'm going to give you a scripture from Luke chapter number 4, Luke the 4th chapter and the 23rd verse. So Luke chapter number 4, verse number 23. This is Jesus speaking. He said to them, "You will surely say this proverb to me, 'Physician, heal yourself.' Whatever we have heard done in Capernaum, do also here in your country." They're saying there's going to be a time when I'm in a particular place and you are going to be asking me, since I've healed so many, since I've worked a work of deliverance in so many, the great works that were done in Capernaum, you're going to be asking me, so why don't you heal yourself? There's a time that is coming. I will jump over to Ezekiel, the 22nd chapter. Ezekiel, the 22nd chapter, and we'll read verse number 30 and verse number 31. I'm reading most of my verses from the New King James Version. That's the one that I was using when I was putting this particular study together. First, Ezekiel 22, verse number 30 and verse number 31 says, "So I sought for a man among them who would make a wall and stand in the gap before me on behalf of the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found no one. Therefore I have poured out my indignation on them. I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath, and I have recompensed their deeds on their own heads," says the Lord. God saying, "I did not want to do this, but I looked for a man among them who would make a wall, or who would stand in the gap, a place of intercession, that I would not destroy the land. But I could not find anybody. And since I could not find anybody, I went ahead and released the judgment upon the land." And I'll also read Psalm 105, verse number 16 to verse number 22. Psalm 105, verse number 16 to verse number 22. I'm not really read all of it because it's rather long. I'm going to read just a portion. It says, "Moreover, he called for a famine in the land. He destroyed all the provision of bread. He sent a man before them, and this man's name was Joseph, who was sold as a slave. They hurt his feet with fetters. He was laid in irons until the time that his word came to pass. The word of the Lord tested him." Until the time that his word came to pass, the word of the Lord tested him. "The king sent and released him. The ruler of the people let him go free. He made him lord of his house, the ruler of his possessions, to bind his princes at his pleasure and teach his elders wisdom." So we're in a particular place. We're introduced to the life of Joseph in the 37th chapter of Genesis. And we are told that Joseph was roughly almost 17 years. He was loved of his father. His father was Jacob, and you know that Jacob had two wives, one Leah, who was hated, and Rachel, who was loved. Somebody say amen. So Jacob had two wives, Rachel and Leah. He loved Rachel. Rachel, he worked for 14 years for Rachel because he's the one that he wanted to love. But Laban said to him, "You could not." Our culture says that the younger cannot be married before the elder one. So Jacob had to marry Leah, and then he had Rachel. And then you know the story. The Bible says that Rachel, the Lord had closed her womb. Rachel was barren. So Leah had children, and then some of the children came through their maidservants. But in terms of Rachel herself, she did not have any children. And you know the story that when the moment came that Rachel conceived and gave birth to Joseph, so Joseph becomes Rachel's firstborn. And the Bible calls Joseph, Jacob says of Joseph, "He is the son of my old age." So Jacob really, really loves Joseph. And you know the story, according to the 37th chapter of the book of Genesis, he made for him a coat of many colors. He was ruling, working with the father, being sent to look after his brethren, or to look out for his brethren, to see what they were doing, to come and give a report. But in the 37th chapter, it also speaks to us about Joseph being visited by God through visions and dreams. He was given two dreams in particular concerning what his future is going to be. But it did not please his brothers, nor did it please his father concerning what God has shown him about the rulership that was going to come. And what I want to do is I want to bring it to a particular passage of scripture in the towards the 40th chapter, where now Joseph finds himself in Egypt. He has been accused by Potiphar's wife. He has now been thrown in jail. But Joseph is carrying a dream for almost 13 years, 12 to 13 years, that he's carrying. What God gave him whilst he was still in the land of Canaan with his father, he's still carrying that dream, and that particular dream, waiting for it to come to pass. He has gone through a series of tests according to what Psalm 105 has laid out for us. He has gone through several tests, waiting for the time of his word to come, when the word is going to test him, and that appointed time is going to be called out. But Joseph finds himself in a prison. He is almost now getting to about 30 years old, and he encounters these two men who were working for Pharaoh, and these two men had dreams that they had, and Joseph was able to give them an interpretation of their dreams, and their dreams came to pass within a short space of time. Now, bear in mind, Joseph has been carrying a dream for 13 years almost, and he encountered these men who were not even servants of law of the Lord, men who are of an Egyptian descent, who are the pagans, as we can put it, and they had dreams, and Joseph was able to tell them the meaning of their dreams, and not only tell them the meaning of their dreams, but their dreams did not take a long time before they were made manifest. And what I want to talk about tonight for you is we have come together in prayer in a place where we are not only praying for ourselves, but we are standing in the gap for many others that are not able to pray for themselves. Some of them are operating in a place where they are under oppression of the kingdom of darkness, and they don't have the willpower and the strength to be able to get into a place of prayer. So we are called by God to get into a place of intercession, to call their names before God on their behalf, to call for things to happen in their lives, to call for things to be established, for things to be broken, for things to be put in order according to what the designs that have been sent out by God. But what I want to ask you tonight is, I want to speak about the perfection of your intercession. The perfection of your intercession. The place where your intercession has to be walking in an area of perfection. Somebody say amen. So I just wanted you to bear in mind that Joseph has been carrying a dream, but his dream has taken 13 years to establish or to materialize. But he meets this man that are wicked, that are not serving God, but their dreams come to pass just like that. One is put to death, the other one is established back to where he used to serve. But God is going to use the one that has been established to be the gateway that Joseph's dream is going to be made manifest. Somebody say amen. But what I want to say is, it is very easy to intercede for the people that you love. It is easy to intercede for your children. It is easy for you to intercede your family, because the common bond that you have is the blood. The bond of blood is the bond of family that you have. You love them. So it is easy for you to pick up a lamentation. It is easy for you to go in the gap and be an intercessor, and being one who is standing in the gap, being an advocate, means you are standing on their behalf before God. You are bringing their needs before God. You are asking for God to show them favor, to bring kindness to them. It is easy when it's somebody that you love. But I want to ask you again, if you call yourself an intercessor, it's not a place of appointment by man. It's a place of appointment by God. It's not a place that you have chosen or a calling that you have elected to take, but it's a calling that has been imposed on you by heaven. You have been called to be an intercessor. You feel that call and you responded to that call. Now, when you have taken that position of being an intercessor, you are not under any obligation to do things according to your will, but you are going to do things according to the will and the counsel of God. Somebody say amen. You're not going to do it according to your will, but you're going to do it according to the counsel of God. So what I want to ask you now tonight is, I said it is very easy for us to intercede for the ones that we love. What I want to say is, are you willing to take up your role as an intercessor on behalf of those that despitefully use you. Are you willing? Because you are an intercessor. An intercessor is going to be, like the Bible says, that Jesus is interceding on our behalf in the courts of heaven. There is a scripture in the 23rd chapter of Luke where there were two criminals that were there, and they are crucifying Christ. They are the Romans are crucifying Christ. They are saying all those different things. Yet Christ himself says, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. He's literally being in a place of intercession on behalf of the people that are bringing affliction to him. So if you are an intercessor and your place of intercession is not because you are looking for an accolade, but it is because you are responding to the call that God placed on your life, are you willing to be able to go into a place of intercession on behalf of those that despitefully use you? Because if your idea of intercession is just interceding for those that are kindred to you and for those whose hearts are intertwined with you because you love them, then your intercession is falling short. Sometimes you have to get into a place where you cry out even for those that are despitefully using you and say, God, you said according to the book of Ezekiel, you said all souls are yours, even the souls of the sinners are yours. I am going to pray, oh God, that even though they are bringing affliction upon me, God, you deliver them. God, you save them. Bring them out from under the obligation of darkness. Be in a place, God, where you can manifest yourself, oh God, and show yourself mighty, that they may be delivered from their affliction. They may be delivered from under the authority of the powers of darkness to walk into a place of your marvelous light. To be in a place where you are the one who is called by God to go and pray for Saul, who is the persecutor of the church, that his sight may be restored, because God has a plan for their lives. Somebody say hallelujah. I'm going to get deep tonight, because I want us to get into a place where we realize this place of intercession is not a place of play. It is a place where serious affairs and serious business is conducted on behalf of God, knowing that God desires to save even the sinner. Somebody say hallelujah. So God is going to require you to pray even for those that are despitefully using you. That's the first. So first level, is it easy? It is easy for you to pray for those that you love. The second level, the second challenge is, will you be able to pray for those that despitefully use you? But I want to bring a further complication into that, because whenever you pray and you see God answer your prayer on behalf of somebody, you rejoice because God has answered the prayer and God has done something. He has brought deliverance and salvation. What I want to bring in is this now. Are you willing to be an intercessor who stands in the gap for those that are despitefully using you, and you are going through some things in your life, and you are still able to lay down what you are going through and be able to pick up an intercession on their behalf? Somebody hearing me here tonight, that you are going through something, but you are able to separate yourself from what you are going through and concern yourself with what is on the mind of God concerning the sinner who is despitefully using you. Now, here's the next level. You find yourself in a place where you are going through something. Let's say, for example, you are going through a financial struggle. You are going through a financial crisis. You are going through a health situation. You are having problems with your children, or your marriage is going through a season of disharmony and disorderly and discontentment. And there is somebody else who comes and they feel that they've been called, they have been directed by God to come to you to be the one who stands in the gap to pray on their behalf. Somebody say hallelujah. It's, you know, you can feel where it's going, that you are going through all these different things. As I said earlier on, but are you able to separate your situation and be able to stand in the gap on their behalf and bring their need before God whilst neglecting yours? But this is where it is going now. You, the person that God sends your way is somebody who is going through the same thing that you are going through. So you are being given an opportunity for you to pray for somebody who is going through what you're going through, but God is requiring you to stand in the gap on their behalf without presenting your case before God, but bringing the case before God. Anybody hearing me tonight? But here is how it's going to be complicated a little bit further, because remember, whenever you pray and God establishes the victory, you rejoice. But what I want to ask is, are you going to be able to be in a place of rejoicing when God answers their prayer and not yours? When God meets their need and not yours? Oh, God help me. Are you going to be able to rejoice when you pray for somebody who's going through the same financial situation that you are going through and God answers their prayer whilst yours is still on hold? Are you going to rejoice that God has answered their prayer? Are you going to rejoice with them when their prodigal son returns back home whilst yours has gone silent and you don't hear from them anymore? Are you going to rejoice with them, or you are going to bring a complaint before God and say, God, how come you have taken years to answer mine, but you haven't taken years to answer their prayer? Yet I am the one who is praying. I have prayed the same prayer concerning my son, and I prayed the same prayer concerning their son, yet you seem to have moved on their behalf and turned the hearts of their son back, but mine you have not answered. The place of perfecting, where God, what I want to do is, I want to get to a place where I say, God, nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. I will rejoice at any answered prayer, even if it is not mine. Because when you get in that place, you have gone into a place of perfected intercession that says, God, I am not going to go into a place of prayer with a hidden agenda. I'm hoping to sneak in my request together with theirs. Now let's go a little bit deeper, because I want us to do a soul searching, that when we say we are intercessors, are we doing this for the name recognition, or we are doing this because it is what has been assigned to us by God? Let me take it to a place in the book of Jonah. Jonah was given an instruction to go to Nineveh, to go and tell them that there is judgment coming upon Nineveh. They've got 40 days to repent. And Jonah said, God, I don't want to go there, because I know if I go there and I tell them, they are going to repent. Because Nineveh was a city that was known for killing prophets. Anybody hearing me tonight? Because you are getting into a place where God is saying, are you in this because of my will? Are you doing this because you are following me? Or you are doing this because you have a hidden agenda? Oh, God help me. So I said, somebody has the same need that you have, and you go into a place of agreement with them, and God meets their needs, yet yours is still outstanding. We go even further, but that person really, really has been stabbing you behind your back, talking about you behind your back, and you just took lamentation on their behalf, and you prayed, and God seems to answer their prayer. Can I go a little bit deeper here? You know that when you evaluate them from this natural perspective, you come to the conclusion that they do not deserve what they are asking God for, because their life does not testify of the goodness of God, and then you still see God answering their prayer whilst yours is on hold, are you still going to rejoice for what God has done in their life and not in yours? Because if you are able to say, it doesn't matter, God, whether you answer mine or not, whether you meet my need or not, I still rejoice because there is somebody who has seen the power of God at work. Oh, it's getting quiet in here. I can feel it. I can feel it because there is a soul searching that is going on in your heart and say, God, am I called really, really to be an intercessor? Or God, do I have to change my vocation? Just make me a preacher, not an intercessor. Oh, help me, Jesus. Because here's the thing, you have to understand, but the idea of intercession is something that was established by God for those that are going to be called to stand in the gap for people that are not able to do it for themselves. But what I want to say is, because we have to pray, what I want to say is this. Remember when Joseph gave the interpretation of the dream, He was on hold for 13 years. 13 years. And he just meets this man who had a dream a few days and tells him what God has said, and his dream is realized. Yet, my God, I have walked uprightly before you all my days. I refuse to defile myself with Potiphar's wife. I have walked according to your statutes, according to what I was taught in my father's house. Yet, what I've been praying for is on hold for 13 years. But here is the thing, that when the appointed time, according to Psalm 105, when the appointed time for his word came, God made sure that he was pulled up. But here is how it happened. The man that he ministered to was the key to the manifestation of what God had promised him 13 years before. Oh, I'm just about church. I had church by myself right here. What I'm saying is, the key to your breakthrough may be tied into the person who is the same need as you have, who God is sending your way for you to stand in the gap for, and be somebody who goes before God in purity of heart. Because when you have ministered to them and they have left, at some point in time, they are going to do something that is going to activate and initiate the manifestation of what you have been carrying or asking God for so many years. Because them being sent your way is a way of God testing you, because the time of your word is fast approaching. Anybody hearing me? The time of your word, the time of the manifestation of what God promised you is at hand. But God is orchestrating things in such a way that when the time comes for your word to be made manifest, the people that are supposed to be in place are going to be in place, and they are going to open the doors that are necessary. Ah, karabashe ki arabahaya ranahaya. I pray that tonight the truth of the living God penetrates your heart, that you are able to lay aside your own desires, that you are able to embrace what God has willed. You are able to embrace what is in the mind and the heart of God and pursue it with everything that you have, saying, God, it doesn't matter if you heal me, you are still the healer. I can agree with somebody and rejoice to see them receive their healing whilst I'm still suffering the same affliction. Anybody hearing me? That's where we are tonight. Say, God, I know that my finances are not going the way that I should, but if you send somebody my way who is going through a financial situation, I am still going to stand up and declare that my God owns a cattle on a thousand hills. I'm still going to declare that you are Jehovah Jireh. I will not stand, God, in a place of doubt, but I will stand in a place of conviction, in a place of boldness, in a place of, God, of perfected faith, and say, yes, my God will supply all your needs according to your riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And I will not look at what I'm going through to lessen my prayer, but I am going to stand in the gap and pray for you and say, God, open the doors for that financial blessing upon their life, God. Let the rains pour upon them, oh God. Let the blessings that they cannot contain, oh God, rain down on them, God. And I am going to rejoice, because that is the place that you have been appointed to by God. To say, God, I will still stand up and say, yes, you are Jehovah Rapha. Yes, God, you are Jehovah Nissi. Yes, God, you are Jehovah Mkadesh. Even though the enemy is coming against me, I can still pray for somebody and rejoice for their deliverance, rejoice for their salvation, because what is important to me is not that my need has been met, but that the need that God has been met. The Bible says in Ezekiel, I sought for a man who would stand in the gap and build a wall that I may not destroy the city, but I found none, because they were all concerned about their own situations. But God, I am saying tonight, God, I have chosen to build my place in you through the idea of love, where you said in 1 Corinthians 13, that God, love does not seek after its own. Whatever love does is for the benefit of the one who is loved. God, if you say all souls are yours, and you bring a soul to me that is in affliction, I can leave my affliction and pick up a lamentation on their behalf, oh God, and not corrupt my prayer by bringing my own needs into it. Because God, your needs are higher than mine. Your needs have got a higher priority than mine. And when you get into that place, your intercession is perfected, and God begins to perfect everything that concerns you. Because you know, when we say, we have this saying, if you take care of God's business, God will take care of your own. All I'm saying is, there is a place that God is calling us, a place where we deny even our lives. We lose our lives for the sake of the kingdom. We lay down our own agendas for the sake of the kingdom. Yes, we still pray for our own needs, but if the Spirit is expressing on us to pray for somebody else's need that is like ours, we will lay down our need and pray for theirs. Anybody hearing me? Because what is important in this particular assignment of intercession is praying according to the instruction that has been given to us by God. Can I just go a little bit deeper right here? James 5 verse number 16. He says, confess your trespasses one to another, and pray for one another that you may be healed. It says the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man. Don't let any unrighteousness enter into your heart when you pray. When you are standing in the gap for somebody, to say, God, they don't deserve what they are asking for. I've been praying for so long, I deserve it more than they do. Don't let that be the attitude of your intercession. Most of the times our intercession fails because we judge somebody before we pray for them. We judge them by how they are dressed. We judge them by what they're saying. We judge them by... Do you know that somebody who is in darkness does not know what to say? They do not know how to live upright because they are in darkness. That's why God is sending them to you so you can pray them into the light. The perfection of your intercession. I want to ask you this now. This is what qualifies you into that place of intercession, the place of perfection. You must answer this question. How much do you love God? Anybody hearing me? How much do you love God? How much do you love God? Because if you love God so much, then you do things according to what's in the heart of God. You do things according to what God loves, according to what God desires. You do it to the benefit of the one that you love, who is God. The next thing is, how much do you trust God? So how much do you love God? How much do you trust God? That even though it may take years for my prayer to be answered, I can still pray for somebody who has the same need as I have and rejoice as you are manifesting and answering their prayer. That is the perfection of intercession. See, God, when I get into a place of prayer, nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. I've walked with you, O God, long enough to know that, O God, you are my portion. You are the cup of my inheritance. That God, I may have affliction in my body, but it is well with my soul if I'm walking with the healer. That God, the thing that is more important to me is just the opportunity to be in your presence. Somebody say amen. Just in that place, and what I'm almost done. But what I want to say is, may the Lord purify your heart as you go into a place of intercession. May you be able to carry other people's burdens into the place of intercession without having your own issues being a hindrance to what God wants to do. Do you know, can I just tell you something? Intercession is so important that Jesus Christ is making intercession on our behalf. The Spirit of the Living God is making intercession on our behalf. And God has given you the privilege to be a part of this great office of being an intercessor. Do you know how privileged you are to be a part of the conversation that is going on between the Godhead? Do you know how privileged we are to be able to stand in the courts of heaven and be advocates, stand in the gap between God and humanity? Just that privilege is greater than receiving a healing. I like what David, I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God. Because you realize, I like that song that Israel sang, your presence is heaven to me. Your presence is heaven to me. Your presence is heaven to me. That God, I will give up everything in the world just to spend a moment in your presence. Why? Because the Bible says, in the presence of the Lord, there is the fullness of joy. In the presence of the Lord, there is peace. Do you know that there is no money in the world that can buy you the joy that God gives you by just being in His presence? There is no material thing that can give you a peace that is above the peace, or that can be equated the peace that God can give you just being in His presence. It's such a privilege that we have, that God will say, I want to bring salvation to somebody. God could have done it by Himself. He is able to. But God says, I'm going to let you partner with me. God help me, Jesus. He says in the book of Ezekiel, the 22nd chapter, I did not want to destroy the city. I was just looking for somebody to stand in the gap on behalf of the city. What a privilege. To be the one who restrains God from bringing judgment on a city because you are interceding. That is better than getting a breakthrough. That is better than getting a breakthrough. Oftentimes, help me, Jesus. In the book of Judges, there were specific nations that were set that were not destroyed in the land of promise to test them, to teach them how to fight, but God wanted to test their hearts. So there are some things that are going to happen in your life but don't make any sense to you. But God wants to prove your heart. You see, because anybody can stand up and say, I am an intercessor. Anybody can sit up and say, I can advocate for you in the courts of heaven. But now let's prove your heart. Let's prove the purity of your intentions. Can you still pray for them with a smile on your face whilst your need has not been met? I'll give you a testimony. Being a pastor has been an eye-opener for me. Being a pastor has been a privilege for me. And the reason why I say that, there are so many things that I have so wanted God to do for me, but He has not done them yet. And there are so many people that I have crossed paths with that have asked for me to pray for them the exact thing that I'm asking God for. Prayed for them or prayed with them and watch God intervene on their behalf. And what I say that's been an eye-opener is this. I have had some people that are working in business affairs that come and say, Pastor, can you pray for me? I need to get this contract to go through. And I'm experiencing a financial struggle. And what I'm asking God for is chump change for what they want God to do for their lives. They are asking God, they want a deal for $30,000, $40,000. I say, God, just give me $100. I'll be fine. That's what I'm asking for. to stand in agreement with them and watch God open doors for them and the contract come without expecting an offering. Anybody hearing? And be able to rejoice with them knowing that I'll never see them again. But the greatest thing that I have taken from there is just to look at the privilege of being the vessel that God used to be in agreement with them. That's more than enough for me. That's more than enough for me. There are some things I've been asking God for 15 years. God, do this for me. And I can tell you in the 15 years, I've had so many people that I've prayed for in that same situation and see God work a wonder. And look at my situation and just say, God, I thank you for who you are and for giving me the privilege to be the vessel that you used to be in agreement with them. And I have learned so much by just being the vessel who stands in the gap. And sometimes, do you know that sometimes you pray for somebody and the only thing that you get is thank you? And some don't even thank you, they just move on. And God answers their prayer. And this is what I've done. I've learned to do everything that I do for God without expecting an offering. Why? Because I've learned that my reward is rendering service to my God. And what I'm saying is, once I am not saying my intercession has been perfected, but I'm learning that this is what God desires. What is important to God is what I want to intercede for. And I've learned some throughout time that there are some people that I prayed for, they forgot about me, but one day God brought me to remembrance in their mind. And they moved some things on my behalf that I could have never done by myself. So all I'm saying is, God is calling us to a place of perfection in our intercession, where we're not driven by personal agendas or personal needs, but we are driven by the need that God has. God is saying, I do not want to destroy the city, so I'm looking for somebody who will stand in the gap. Let me conclude by saying this. Jesus said to them, there's coming a day when you will say to me, physician, heal yourself. He's saying, there's going to come a day you're going to say that, but I will not do anything because I love you so much that I have to die on the cross for you. So I'm going to forego my need of deliverance because your salvation is more important to me. I need to reconcile you with God, so it is important that I die on the cross for you. He could have called the angels to handle all the men that were mocking him. He could have called the angels. Can I just paint you a picture? And I'm almost done. Can I just paint you a picture? God is so big, okay? God is so big that the world cannot contain him. God is so big that the world cannot contain him. Jesus, according to the book of creation, in the beginning was the Word. That's what John gave us. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. The Word that spoke everything into existence. That means Jesus, the Word, made the wooden tree, the wood that he was going to be hung on. He created the metal that made the nails. Do you think that those nails could hold him onto the cross? without him laying down his will? What I'm saying is, it was the love that he had for humanity. But he said, God, I will forego my immediate need and do what needs to be done for you, God. Father, we lay down our lives and say, have your way. In our intercession, that is why sometimes you find in intercession the Holy Spirit takes over. Because if you are left to your own devices, you will pray a selfish prayer. So he takes over to intercede on your behalf or on behalf of the person that you are praying for. Let me just paint you a picture and I'm done. The Bible says, the heavens are his throne and the earth his footstool. The Bible says to us, the earth is his and the fullness thereof, and they that dwell therein. So everything belongs to him. But the Bible says to us, but the earth is given the sons of men. And then he has put a restriction in our world to say that anything that happens in the earth has to be done by the permission of man. Anybody hearing me? Everything that God wants to do in the earth has to be done by the permission of man. He can do it, but he has established a legal framework where anything that has to be done, there has to be a man in the earth who's consenting for that to be done. So when we are in place here in earth, when we are praying, we are giving God the consent. We are coming into agreement that whatever is in heaven can be done here on earth. I'm going to lay down. So we're in a place of intercession. We are giving God legal permission to do what needs to be done in the earth. We're giving legal permission for God to work on somebody's behalf. Because as long as there is a man who says, let thy kingdom come and thy will be done, then God has legal permission to come and do what has been sanctioned by heaven. So God has chosen you to stand in the gap to make sure that his will finds legality in the earth. By saying, God, have your way. Have your way. So if you are just dealing with your own needs, you are denying God the legal permission to do what needs to be done in the earth. Concerning that soul. I know I just downloaded something that is so heavy for somebody. But I know that in time you are going to process it and God is going to show you that you have such a privilege to stand in the gap on behalf of humanity and say, God, let thy kingdom come and let thy will be done. We give you permission, God, to establish the kingdom. That is why Jesus, following the legal framework established by heaven, that the only way that somebody can enter the earth is through the womb of a woman. You see, Lucifer came into the earth not through the womb of a woman. Anybody hearing me? So he is operating here to connive and scheme to get legal permission from man. But he is illegal in the earth. So Jesus came through a legal channel so he can say, Heavenly Father, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. So the kingdom of God was given permission by man to come back into the earth by the second Adam. Anybody hearing me? So that's your position and your posture. Well, I'm just saying tonight, I know that the Holy Spirit will reveal to you more and more when you begin to study what I've just said. Get into a place of intercession where it's not about me, but it's about God. Because I love him so much, I want to see his will being done here on earth as it is in heaven. So I will conclude by reading this verse of scripture. I love that verse. In Numbers chapter number 6, verse number 24, verse number 24 to verse number 26. Numbers 6, verse number 24 to verse number 6. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Amen, amen, amen. Father, I bless your sons and your daughters. I declare that they are blessed in their coming. They are blessed in their going. I declare that God, the works of their hands are blessed. And whatsoever they set their mind to do, it will not fail, but it will succeed. I speak success over any endeavor that they embarked on. I declare that, O God, doors are opening that no man can shut. Father, prophecies that have been forgotten are being brought into remembrance because the time for that word is fast approaching. I declare that, God, there are going to be unexpected events of elevation because the time of their word has come. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, somebody say amen, 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 and amen. And I just want to give you a little bit more insight, and I promise you I'll be done. Just to give you a bit more insight on the story of Joseph, okay? When the Bible says that until the time of his word had come, and when the time of his word had come, Pharaoh, the ruler of the people, came and called him from the jail. Here's the thing, you have to understand that when they're looking at the culture back then, a son has to go through specific processes. Is marked for covenant at 8 days old. He's circumcised for covenant. Then from the time that he's 8 until the time of his bar mitzvah, when he's 12, he's under the tutelage of his mother. He's under the authority of his mother. Somebody say amen. So from the time that he's 8, the time that he's 12, he's under the authority or under the direction and instruction of his mother. But by the time that he gets the 12th year or the 13th year, they have what they call the bar mitzvah. When you're moving from a place of bar mitzvah, you are saying now you are saying that you are a man now. You move from the tutelage of your mother to the tutelage of your father. Now the father is now becoming your instructor. Okay, and it's that is actually emphasizing this idea that when Jesus was 12 years old, they were looking for him. They couldn't find him because he was away. He was in the synagogue, and they went to find him, and then he said to him, I must be about what? My father's business, because now I am moving from under the tutelage of my mother. It's time for my bar mitzvah. I'm going under the tutelage of my father. Therefore, I must be after my father's business. That's why you find when we're introduced to Joseph, when he's in Genesis 37, they say he's almost 17 years old. He's 17 years old. So he's actually been working with his father for almost 4 to 5 years, depending when his bar mitzvah was. Okay? If it was 12, it's 5 years. If it was 13, it's 4 years. So he's been working for his father. That's why his father was teaching him, made a coat of many colors. The Bible specifically says his father made him a coat of many colors, because it means the father is the one who's giving him instruction now. He said to him, go and see what your brothers are doing. He's learning what the father needs, learning the affairs of the father, because he's under the instruction of his father. Then what they normally say, that particular period of time from 13, you are going to work until you get to the age of 30. Anybody hearing me? Until you get to the age of 30. When you get to the age of 30, now you are named for an inheritance. You become what the Greeks call a weos. You become a weos. They have a celebration where they call the weothesia or heos. I don't know how they pronounce it. Some people say weos with H-O-U-I-S. Some say weos. your Thesia were 30 years old when you were named for inheritance. And in that particular ceremony, the father makes a public declaration that this is my son. Anybody hearing me? somebody's already caught the revelation. This is my son in whom I'm well pleased. Let's just jump over to the story of Jesus. At 30 years old, Jesus walks down to the river Jordan to be baptized by John. He's 30. When he's baptized, the heavens are opened. The Spirit came over him as a dove. And there is a voice that made a public declaration. This is my son in whom I'm well pleased. That means the father is saying, my son has achieved full maturity. Now I can entrust him with my affairs. Okay? Now I can entrust him with my affairs. He has reached the stage of maturity. He can run my affairs. And they actually say that when the father makes that public declaration, he said, I have fully trained my son in all my businesses. Therefore, the father now is qualified to go and sit in the seats of judgment, in the gates of judgment, whilst the son is taking care of the affairs. Oh, it's going to get good just now. Look at now. Joseph now is 17 when he sold into slavery. He's in Egypt for 13 years. But remember that according to the law of the Jewish culture, at 30 he must be named for an inheritance. Anybody catching that? He must be named for inheritance. So when his weothesia was approaching, the time of his word was approaching, when he hit 30, he had to be geared to receive his inheritance, which was already declared by God in Genesis 37 when he saw that dream and that vision. So when Pharaoh called him, the God orchestrated things that when Joseph was supposed to receive his inheritance, he was called by Pharaoh. Oh, God help me, Jesus. And Pharaoh made this declaration. Let me not go the declaration. They gave him a change of garments. They gave him a ring. They gave him a change of garment. They gave him a ring. And they gave him sandals. Anybody hearing me? Oh, help me, Jesus. They gave him sandals, which represents dominion. They gave him a ring, a seal of authority. They gave him a garment, the covering. Remember, he had lost one, the coat of many colors. Now it's been restored. So he has been given his rightful inheritance. And because Joseph was being groomed to take care of his father's affairs. Anybody hearing me? Oh, God help me. So when the time of his word had come, Joseph was 30. So he was supposed to receive his inheritance according to the word of God. Therefore, Pharaoh had no choice because the time of Joseph had come. So Joseph was called out. So when Psalm 105 says, until the time of his word had come, he had reached his stage of maturity, he had to receive his inheritance. Well, I will leave all you scholars to process that. Hallelujah. 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 But I just wanted to give you the idea, the background to the Psalm 105, and also it's 105 explains that God was literally sending Joseph before Israel walked into the nation of Egypt because he had to preserve them. That's what it was. So his dream was not delayed, but his dream had an appointed time that was tied into his inheritance. So what you are asking God for right now, you may not have it, but it's coming. It's waiting for the appointed time. So don't despair. Don't leave your place of intercession. Don't carry the anger and resentment when somebody else is healed when you are not and you have prayed for them, because you are in a place of perfection. The Bible says, and the word of the Lord tested him. So God is just showing you what is in your heart. So that's all I wanted to share with you tonight. I just say, get in that place of perfection in your intercession.